leader.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynch is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south. Go down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly. I am Joseph Ward right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Once again, this is the Fix Sports Podcast, and this is episode 20. I think 27 to 28. I keep messing that up. It's one of these episodes, 27 to 28. But anyway, we trucking down the road, and we are actually coming close to the end of season 5, which means we've been putting this in for some time. And I want to give a shout out to everybody who's been rocking with your homeboy. Right, all my day ones, y'all already know what it is. Much love to you for all my day ones. For everybody else who may not be a day one, but you down with the team, you down with the Fix, hey man, you need your Fix every week. I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you for tuning in and making this show what it is. Hey, we on our way, the number one sports podcast in the land. We on our way. I said the number one sports podcast in the world, Craig, in the world. Hey, remember, you can support the Fix on Patreon, right? At patreon.com/thefix. You can support the Fix Sports Podcast. And for those who are listening to this, if you want to actually see this, that's one of the incentives of becoming a patron, is you get the video. And we got some other stuff coming too. I got some exclusive interviews that's coming up that's going to be available on Patreon. So if you want to have access to those exclusive interviews, you want to be able to see the video of the Fix Sports Podcast that we got going on, make sure you become a patron. You can do that for as little as $1 a month. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/thefix. Hey, remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. The stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. They give that to you through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on their website. For all my video people, you can see at www.ontheshoulders1.com. The On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG. So once again, it's patreon.com/OTSOG. Also, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization is bringing things to you. And you can access On the Shoulders of Giants digitally. Once again, the website is www.ontheshouldersone.com. Or you can go to YouTube, right? And YouTube is youtube.com/OntheShouldersOne. Face-to-face. Of course, it's kind of difficult to do that right now, but you can get a lot of virtual learning with On the Shoulders of Giants. So all you got to do is visit the website at on the shoulders1.com. Oh yeah. We back. What we got this week, Willie? What we talking about, man? We got some doozies for you this week. We got this one not as COVID heavy, but it is a little COVID sprinkle. So of course, you know, we got to start off with that HBCU spotlight there, right? So an alumnus of Delaware State has become a head coach in Major League Baseball. So we're going to talk about that and congratulate son. We're going to congratulate son. Also, further along in our HBCU, well, that's our HBCU spotlight. So HBCU news. I got two segments for HBCU news, or two stories in my HBCU news segment. And a young man named Dante Keys, he's moving to the FBS to pursue his NFL dream. And we're going to explore that and see what Dante's talking about. Because Dante doing the opposite of the movement. And then we're going to tune in on this Chris Paul movement. If you haven't been keeping up, Chris Paul has been wearing sneakers dedicated to various HBCUs in these games within the bubble. And he's still doing it in the playoffs. So this article is dedicated to him showing love to Southern. But like I said, he's been doing it for a number of HBCUs, and I'll give you the list of those HBCUs that Chris Paul been doing that for. Then we're going to get into, you know, I talked about a heart condition that's linked to COVID in the last show or show before last. Myocarditis, I think I'm saying it right. So we're going to explore that and how it's linked to COVID-19 and its role in college football. So I'm going to get into that. And we're going to get into the role of physical activity and sport and mental health. We're going to get into that. Because remember, for the Freedom Train Network, the month of August is Mental Health Awareness Month, so I want to make sure that I cover things that are sports-related but mental health-related. So I'm going to get into the role of physical activity in sport and mental health. All right. Then Jamel Hill, our homegirl, Jamel Hill, she out here. She got some people riled up. And I'm about to shit, so I want to explore it, right? So Jamel Hill believes you're a racist if you vote for Trump. I just want to get into it, you know. I don't agree or disagree. I'm just about to shit today. So I'm like, fuck it, let's get into it. Now, some crazy shit is there are parents of Big Ten football players who went to the Big Ten headquarters to protest that they want a season to happen because, you know, Big Ten moved their season to the spring. So these parents out here like, we want our children to play. Then we're going to get into some NBA. We're going to talk about these NBA playoffs and what's going on and where they at playoffs. We're going to get into that. Then we're going to jump back into the Big Ten COVID and protesting with quarterback from Ohio State, Justin Fields. He launches a petition to reinstate Big Ten football during the fall. So I guess people act like COVID ain't real. And then our weekly rant is aimed at a broadcaster for the Cincinnati Reds named Tom Brennerman, who used the anti-gay slur. I said that like I was slow. He used the anti-gay slur on air when he thought his mic wasn't hot. So we're going to get into his dumb ass. So. But y'all know what time it is, though. Y'all know what time it is. It's that. HBCU spotlight. All right, so got a young man named Rush Steerhorn. And 8 years ago, Rush Steerhorn was a member of the Delaware State baseball staff that led the Hornets to the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference Northern Division title and appearance in the MEAC Championship Series. Oh, that young man on that squad, that did that good. Okay, not. So today, Stearhorn is in Major League Baseball after his recent appointment as a hitting instructor with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was a minor league hitting instructor in the Cardinals organization before the call up to the big club. Russ, I see you, Russ. Before joining the Cardinals, Stearhorn was most recently an assistant hitting coordinator for the Philadelphia Phillies. Okay. Okay, Russ, I see you standing on your resume. Okay. From 2013 to 2017, he served in the Houston Astros system that included 3 years as hitting coach in the New York Penn League and a year each managing in the Dominican Summer League and Class A Midwest League. My dog been all over. I see you, Russ. In 2017, Stearhorn was the manager of the Quad Cities River Bandits. Quad City DJs, Bandits, baby. A single A affiliate of the Astros and had an 86-61 record and won the Midwest League title. Russ, my dog, Rusty, out there doing it. All right. In 2016, he was the manager of the Dominican Summer League Astros team that had a 42-23 record. Stearhorn's first year with the Astros organization was in 2013 of his first three seasons as hitting coach with Tri-City. That Tri-City, that Quad-City, that Tri-City, that Quad-City, that... I see it, Russ. All right. In Stearhorn's final season as pitching coach under J.P. Blandon, at Delaware State in 2020, the Hornets posted a 40-17-1 overall mark, tying the team record for most wins in the season. DSU led the MEAC with a team earned run average of 3.59 and reached the MEAC tournament Final Four for the first time since the 2014 season. And that's because that boy Rusty, Stearhorn, was part of that team, part of that coaching staff, coaching them to go out there and hit that ball. That Rusty Stearhorn. So y'all put y'all hands together for Rusty Stearhorn. That's what I'm talking about. Rusty Stearhorn. Meanest hitting coach this side of the Mississippi. I tell you what. Rusty Stearhorn. Rusty. Now, his real name is Rusty, I'm guessing, but I'm calling him Rusty because it just sounds cool. But one time for Rusty Stearhorn, pretty impressive resume, if I may say so myself. So y'all give a shout out to Rusty Stearhorn out here doing this thing, who is now a part of the St. Louis Cardinals. And he up there with the big boys, hitting coach, out there hitting that thing. So that death was our 8. For that HBCU spotlight. All right, so time for some HBCU news. I got the keys, Dante keys. He got the keys, Dante keys. He got the keys. So Dante keys is doing the opposite of what we preaching. But we're gonna talk about it anyway. He's moving to the FBS to pursue his NFL dreams. Like, you can't do that from the HBCU lot. So a month after leaving North Carolina A&T, Dante Keys has a new home. The All-American right tackle has committed to Florida International University. FIU is still planning on playing football in 2020. I'll be taking my talents to South Beach, where I'll attend Florida International University. These people still saying that LeBron started the trend. So Keys wrote when announcing his commitment, I want to thank legendary Coach Butch Davis and offensive line coach Joel Rodriguez for giving me this opportunity to make my dreams come true. The dream includes the NFL, which is why he left A&T for FIU. A&T has had three NFL draft picks in the last 4 years. A&T has had three NFL draft picks in the last 4 years. A&T has had three NFL draft picks in the last 4 years. But Keys' circumstances were different. Keys announced his decision to enter the transfer portal shortly after the MEAC announced it had postponed fall sports. He was one of several key players in the conference that decided to move on after the news. South Carolina State defensive tackle Roderick Perry hit the transfer portal and landed in the Big Ten, considered one of the top NFL prospects in the conference. Perry decided to transfer to Illinois. Florida A&M offensive tackle, and we talked about this, Calvin Ashley, decided he didn't want to wait for a possible spring season either. The Auburn transfer declared for the NFL draft after spending one season in Tallahassee. Dante Keys was a key contributor for the Aggies last season, giving up only three sacks and more than 172 snaps. You shouldn't have gave up none. He played mostly at right tackle, but FIU sees him as capable of playing multiple spots on the line. As a senior, I expect to dominate any and everything that comes my way, he told 305 Sports. I plan to increase my draft stock to make my chances of getting drafted better. So that is your homeboy who doing the reversal. He got the Keys. So that's your boy Dante Keys, who's going to FIU from North Carolina A&T to pursue his NFL dreams. Hey, man, wish you well, Dante. We wish you well, man. Go out there and ball out, man. Get to lead, dog. Get to lead. So, Chris Paul, I see you CP Treasy. I see you CP Peasy, Chris Paul. I'm the real Chris Paul. So, Chris Paul, you know, he on this HBCU tour with his sneakers. So, during the bubble, during the NBA bubble, like I said in the opening, he's been wearing shoes dedicated, shouting out to HBCUs, even though he haven't worn FAMU shoes yet. What's up with that, Chris Paul? You better wear your FAMU shoes, bruh. Where the FAMU shoes at, bruh? Huh? So, Chris Paul HBCU sneaker tour went from his hometown to the home state of his first NBA team. Well, what that mean, Willie? Well, you finna find out. So, Paul showed up for game two of the Oklahoma City Thunder's playoff series representing Southern University, SU, baby. While the sneakers have been the focus of his ongoing campaign to create awareness, have mostly been his shoes. His shirt got a lot of attention, too. Paul showed up to the game in a very vintage-looking black Southern University t-shirt that had folks from Baton Rouge to Boston and all spots in between asking where it came from. Okay, he got a little jazz, a little Southern shirt on. I see you, Chris. Of course, Paul came through with a cold pair of sneakers that pretty much nobody else in the world had. Oh, a cold pair of sneakers? Chris Paul got a collab pair of sneakers, dawg, that ain't nobody else got. Don't tell nobody. But Chris Paul got them shoes that ain't nobody else got. So, that makes Southern the latest on his list that now includes North Carolina A&T, Alabama A&M, Livingston College, Albany State University, Savannah State University, Langston University, North Carolina Central, and Winston-Salem State. Paul was drafted third overall in the 2005 NBA draft by the New Orleans Hornets. Of course, the Hornets would later change their name to the Pelicans and gave the name Hornets back to Charlotte, but that's another story. I don't even know why they talk about this shit. But Chris Paul, man, I see you on that tour with them sneakers. Hey, Chris Paul, I see you on tour with them sneakers from the HBCU. Chris Paul, I see you. Hey, out there with them cigar. I said, Chris Paul, out there with them cigar. Chris Paul out there showing off them HBCU shoes. I said, Chris Paul out there showing off them HBCU shoes. Chris Paul with them sneakers. I see you. Yeah. All right. That concludes my HBCU news. That's my HBCU news conclusion music. All right. So there's a heart condition linked to COVID-19 that plays a role in college football changes. The Big Ten, Pac-12 conferences announced they won't be playing college football in the fall due to health concerns surrounding COVID-19. CBS Sports reports college football officials received eye-opening information on myocarditis that's been part of the discussion for canceling fall football for the Big Ten and Pac-12. Myocarditis is inflammation of the heart muscle typically caused by viral infection like COVID-19 or H1N1 or H1N1. If untreated, it can cause heart damage or sudden cardiac arrest. Genevieve Rumor's husband, once a college basketball player at Pace University, had it and needed a heart transplant. Oh. Back in 1970, they didn't know what myocarditis was. He had an enlarged heart and had chest pain. Doctor said, maybe you have a virus or something. But you're an athlete, so your heart is enlarged. So no worries. Then 25 years later, he woke up in heart failure. Then 8 years after that, he needed a heart transplant. So, and they related all back to myocarditis. And that was caused by mononucleosis when he was a teenager, said Rumor. Rumor is a cardiac and ER nurse and now executive director of the Myocarditis Foundation. She said the heart condition can reduce the ability of the heart to pump and lead to an abnormal heartbeat. It tends to affect twice as many high school and college age men as it does women. Studies have been done on its connection to COVID-19, but early research shows up to 23% of people who have COVID-19 are left with myocarditis. And I'm going to say that again. Early research, I don't know exactly which research, but it's we know that it's early. So early research shows up to 23% of people who have COVID-19 or had COVID-19 are left with myocarditis. If you don't know that you had myocarditis or may have thought you had a mild case, and you say, I'm feeling good, and you go out there, said Rumor, the faster you're running, the faster your heart has to work. The harder it is, it becomes more irritable. The irritability over the scar tissue can cause lethal cardiac arrhythmia. That's what happens when athletes pass out on the ball field, she said. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby reportedly said there was growing evidence of concern over the heart condition, and CBS Sports reported at least 15 Big Ten athletes were left with myocarditis after having COVID-19. The earlier you can diagnose it, the better the outcome for the patient, said Rumor. The treatment for the condition depends on our symptoms. The foundation suggests if you have COVID-19 to ask your doctor about myocarditis. So I am in the school of let's move everything back. At least look for, let's look at a spring date, you heard me? And let's reduce risk. Let's fuck the dumb shit and reduce the risk, right? Because why should we risk the lives of these college football players just for our entertainment? I said that last week. Why are we risking the lives of these young men just for our entertainment? And I understand some of y'all want to go to the league. Everything going to be different. Everything going to be different moving forward. Everything. So you're going to be in a special class, but that don't mean you ain't going to have a chance to make it to the league, though. But if you got myocarditis, if you have that, you're going out there trying to play, you could potentially die because your heart is enlarged and not working properly. And that's not good to just say, I made it to the league. Some of y'all are like, I'm willing to die for it. But yeah, football, once again, football is not the end. It's a means to an end, right? So don't go out there with all that, man, I'm willing to die for this football stuff. Man, stop that. Football ain't going nowhere. Everybody's dealing with COVID. You ain't the only one dealing with COVID. Everybody dealing with COVID. Everybody is. So what that mean? Chill out. Chill out. I read a story early in the week where a athletic director of a high school had to come out there and stop the game. Why they had a football game, I don't know. But they had to go out there and stop the game because of a lack of social distancing and the fear that people could get COVID and they could get sued. Hey, man, from elementary to middle to high school to college to pro. The pro has the best chance of playing because they can actually come the closest. They got the resources for a bubble-like structure for NFL. Now, how they actually going to do this, I don't know. I really don't even know. But the question is, how many folk going to have to get COVID and either die or suffer real bad for y'all to say, let's chill out for a minute, let's sit down, and let's let this COVID kind of settle down a bit before we go back out there and trying to do what we've been doing. I understand it's the fall. I understand it's late August, and right around this time we'll be on our preseason games and everything happening, but, man, just enjoy the NBA bubble that we got. Watch some WNBA. Learn a new skill. Read something. This is your time to do things that you always wanted to do. Do that. Pursue that. Make that money. The shit out here just ain't been funny. Bars. So that's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying. It ain't that serious, man. It ain't that serious. So, you know, let's roll into mental health and sports. And let's see the role of physical activity in sport and mental health. Let's kind of explore, read a little bit into this and explore and kind of chew on what we read. It's Mental Health Awareness Month for the Freedom Train Network, so make sure y'all go visit the website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Check out the past episodes of the Fix Sports Podcast where I talk about mental health, but also check out the episodes of the Freedom Train Podcast series where we have three episodes available that are dedicated strictly to mental health awareness. So make sure you go check it out, the Freedom Train Podcast series, but visit the website www.freedomtrainradio.com. And don't forget to support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/TheFix. You can support me for as little as $1 a month. All right, so the role of physical activity and sport in mental health. Okay. And sing. Physical activity can help prevent and manage mental health problems. The UK government has defined well-being as a positive physical and social mental state. And that's from the Department of Health in 2010. So mental well-being indicates factors such as individuals' ability to develop their potential, work productivity and creativity, build strong and positive relationships with others, and contribute to their community. It also involves areas of life such as feelings of satisfaction, optimism, and self-esteem. Right? One way to enhance our mental well-being and protect our mental health is through participating in physical activity. Physical activity has been shown to have a strong and positive influence on mental well-being and some mental illnesses. Participation in regular physical activity can increase self-esteem and reduce stress and anxiety. Physical activity can help play a role in preventing mental health problems and improve the quality of life of those experiencing them. Get out and get something. Outcast already told you. So physical activity can be used in treatment for depression. I've heard this before. And be used as a standalone treatment or as a combination therapy with medication and or psychological therapy. Strong evidence exists showing a 20-30% reduction in depression in adults who participate in physical activity daily. Exercise has potential advantages after antidepressants with fewer side effects and perhaps less stigma attached to it as treatment modality in comparison to counseling or psychotherapy. Limited evidence exists proven physical activity can reduce levels of anxiety and distress to people with mild symptoms by 20-30%. And may also be helpful for treating clinical anxiety. Physical activity is available to all, has few costs attached, and is an empowering approach that can support self-management. Check that out. Listen. I hope you're listening. Physical activity is a good thing in helping to reduce stress and anxiety, especially depression. I remember sitting through a session taught by Baba Dana Denard. It was a psychologist at FAMU, and it was a man. It was like a 21-week manhood class thing. And one of the things we're talking about is how to manage depression and things. And went into how exercise is a great way to manage your depression. So if you have been feeling signs of depression, especially I know now it's COVID out, a lot of things going on, go get you some exercise in. There is clear evidence that physical activity reduces the risk of cognitive decline in adults and older adults with a 20-30% risk reduction. It's 20-30% and everything, huh? 20-30% risk reduction in developing dementia for adults participating in daily physical activity. Physical activity also seems to reduce the likelihood of experiencing cognitive decline in people who do not have dementia. Physical activity can reduce depression and anxiety in children. Dun, dun, dun. I need to give me some sounds. But physical activity can increase self-esteem and reduce depression and anxiety in children. We also know that physical activity performed in an outdoor space can improve cognitive performance, self-esteem, and reduce anxiety and symptoms related to attention deficit disorder. There needs to be clear pathways safeguarding vulnerable adults and children suffering from mental health issues when participating in physical activity, and safeguarding generally for all those participating in organized sports, right? Organizations that promote physical activity in patients with mental health problems should have diagnosed safeguarding staff and referral pathways to more specialist services. This includes the management of acute mental health conditions. Well, then, let me read this last part. The faculty recognizes the prevalence of mental health conditions in minority groups such as ethnic minority and LGBT groups and how this correlates with lower levels of physical activity and morbidity. Special provisions and methods need to be available to target vulnerable patients and minority groups with mental illnesses to improve outcomes by removing barriers to these groups. Sports participation represents a strategy to reach these groups and perhaps help break down stigma. And I do agree that we can better use sports especially within Black communities. We can better use physical activity in sport across the spectrum of the black community. Physical activity for our physical and mental and spiritual health. And sport, being able to use sport to enhance ourselves, to enhance our lives financially. But understand that sports is a means to an end and not the end. And sports is a tool in the tool belt and not the whole entire tool belt, which means we're not just setting our children up just to be able to take care of the family, which can cause more stress and anxiety on them. But understanding that we're taking care of ourselves like we're supposed to, and sport is a means to an end, tool in the tool belt, right? But like I say, depression can be managed. But I'm not an expert, but I would say go seek experts. If you have any signs of any mental health illnesses or feel like you're not right, go seek professional help. Please, 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 please go seek professional help. Don't be out here trying to diagnose yourself, trying to do it yourself, trying to fix it yourself. This ain't, mental health is not a DIY project. I'm saying it again. Mental health is not a DIY project. You might be used to taking care of yourself and doing things by yourself and doing this and doing that, doing this, doing that. But mental health is not a DIY project. If you're not feeling right, if you're not feeling like yourself, go get yourself some help. And that's brought to you by the Fit Sports Podcast. All right, so let's move on and let's be with the shits. Let's be with the shits. Let's be with the shits tonight. Hey, man. We with the shits. Ain't that right, Kawhi? Ain't that right? We with the shits, man. We with the shits, bro. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, bro? So, Jamel Hill believe you racist if you vote for Trump. Joseph Ward believe you racist if you vote for either Trump or Biden. How about that? Joseph Ward believe you racist if you vote for either Trump or Biden. How about that? Ooh. So on September 11, 2017, Jamel Hill tweeted. Jamel Hill tweeted, Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. And even though the 99-character pronouncement came a few weeks after Trump referred to a group of white nationalist protesters as very fine people, pearls were firmly clutched. Not mine. I don't clutch pearls, but I was like, man, what the fuck, bitch? So a vocal fraction of conservatives, including the president and his then press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Sarah Huckabee. That's a funny ass name. Sarah Huckleberry. Called on ESPN to fire Hill. They all called on ESPN to fire Jamel Hill. That didn't happen. They publicly censored her instead, calling his actions inappropriate and strong arming the SportsCenter 6 co-host into issuing a half-hearted apology to the worldwide leader. 5 months and one tweet criticizing Cowboys owner Jerry Jones later, and she was out at SportsCenter, relegated to a less front-facing role at the Undefeated, the company's website covering sports and race. 8 months after that, he was out at ESPN completely after 12 years of search. Yeah, she ducked deuce on him. And shout out to Jamel Hill and Carrie Champion for their new show that they got going on. So shout out to them ladies. Really going down in the South, you heard me? So, but Hill's reach has only grown since. The 44-year-old currently works as a staff writer for The Atlantic, hosts a pair of podcasts, and is producing a docuseries on Colin Kaepernick for Disney, and is launching a new late-night talk show, Carrie and Jamel Stick to Sports, on Vice TV. And I want to check that out. The show, which will premiere on Wednesday, August 19th. Okay, so it just started. It started the week, okay? Last week, with a very special guest, LeBron James. They had LeBron James, Carrie Champion, and Jermaine had LeBron James on episode one. Okay. So that sees former ESPN actors Hill and Carrie Champion speak their mind on sports, politics, and culture. In a wide-ranging talk with the Daily Beast, Hill opened up about her new show, ESPN Ouster, and why her recent tweet, "If you vote for Trump, you're a racist. You have no wiggle room," really got under the right-wing media skin. I mean, and I'm not, I'm with the shits on this, because anything that really makes racist, white racist people mad, I'm down with. Even though I just add in that, you know, Joe Biden don't give a shit about us either. So don't forget that Joe Biden doesn't give a shit about black people either. Don't forget. So I think one of the main things is you have two black women who are driving a show with their opinions. The dynamic you usually see is women in the position where they're teeing up other people to give their opinions, and we're driving the show with our opinions. We're also talking about a very special time in America for black women. Black women have become, from a political standpoint, essentially the backbone of the Democratic Party, which they need to stop doing that shit. Fuck the Democratic Party. Black women need to leave the Democratic Party alone. The Democratic Party does not appreciate black women. They do not appreciate black people. That's why we get nothing from them. But they have become the backbone. We're on the verge of a black woman possibly being named a vice president candidate. The black women are also the most educated group in the country in terms of the number of advanced degrees they have. But don't let that fool you into thinking that that's translating to wealth. Black people as a whole, and even black women, still behind the wealth gap. The wealth gap is widening. Don't let the number of degrees lull you into thinking that the wealth gap is closing, because it's not. This is a time where you're seeing a lot of black women come together, own and seize their own power. We're part of that movement and represent that. Power to the women, power to the black women. So, yeah, and that's the other reason I would say. We're seeing it right now with the WNBA stand against Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler. Fuck Kelly Loeffler. And this is a stand that I don't think is getting enough attention. Getting enough national media coverage. Hey, we covered it here right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. We covered it right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. All right. Yeah, and that's the other reason why this talk show is so special, despite the contributions and black women historically being the conscience of America. We also have been an invisible minority, both inside the mainstream and within our own community, but not right here on the Fix Sports Podcast, because I've been mixing sports and politics for the longest, since day one, and I've been shouting out women, especially black women, since day one. So right here, y'all, hey, Jamel and Carrie, y'all need to come on the Fix Sports Podcast and holler at your boy, or bring your homeboy on your show, because I've been rocking with black women since the longest, because I knew black women been live all my life. Why? Because black women been live all my life. You hear me? So, and the black community, and understandably so, the bigger fight has always been against institutional racism, but within our community, we still have to deal with sexism, misogyny, and other issues that we're not really given the space to talk about because of the all-encompassing fight against racism. Yes and no. Yes and no. Because there are a lot of men, including myself and others, who are out there helping and fighting out a lot of people and there's a lot of fights. So that's a yes and no. I say you have to dig deep to see, but I'm not saying she's wrong, but she's not totally right. Black women's unique struggle not even being recognized by the feminist movement. Fuck the feminist women. They don't love black women. They use black women to get their agendas pushed, and then they forget and turn their backs on black women. And then to be silent sometimes within our own community. We have to fight harder to be heard. We can't speak for all black women, of course, but what we're hoping is just by the symbolism of us being there, we're able to show that there is a space for black women to be heard in this country. Goddamn right. Goddamn right, it's a space for black women to be heard in this country. And that space is right. One of the spaces is right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. So if you're a black woman and you're in the realm of sports, and you looking for a space, a platform to get your message out, to get your word out, to let people know what you got going on, what you're doing, what black women doing in sports, come holler at your boy right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. You can visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Spread the message. All black women who are for our people and are out there doing their thing in the realm of sports, you are welcome right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. It ain't no thing. It ain't even no second thought for me. As long as what you're doing is for the benefit of our community, it ain't even no second thought for me. You heard me? Come holler at your boy. Come holler at your boy. So one time for Jamel Hills. Hey, man. I believe something wrong with you if you vote for Trump. But I still also believe something wrong with you if you vote for Biden. Biden hasn't earned our votes. All right, let's get into some dumb shit. So the parents of Big Ten football players at the Big Ten headquarters protesting that we want football, we want football, we want football. We want our sons to go out and get corona and die just so they can play football. A group of parents of Big Ten football players protested outside league headquarters Friday to demand more information about what went into the league's August 11th decision to postpone the fall season. Right, about 25 parents attended the gathering, which was organized by Randy Wade, father of Ohio State defensive back Sean Wade. Okay. And let me reposition myself a little bit, get up in it. Say, the group featured mostly parents from Ohio State and Iowa, although Illinois and Wisconsin were also represented. Many parents wore their sons' jerseys and T-shirts with their team logos. Some carried signs reading, "Let them play," and "We want to play. We want to play. Let them play because we want to play." The Big Ten office remained closed Friday. Commissioner Kevin Warren and members of the conference staff have been working remotely during the coronavirus pandemic. So they went up to an empty office with all their vigor. Zealots. Warren on Wednesday wrote an open letter further explaining the Big Ten's decision to postpone after several parent groups from league teams had asked for details. He wrote that Big Ten presidents and chancellors were overwhelmingly in support of postponement, acknowledged the disappointment, and confirmed that the decision would not be revisited. You know what? I got real claps. I got real claps. One time for the Big Ten commissioner, man. This real claps for the Big Ten commissioner for being smart, not being a dumber like a lot of people in the state of Florida. But they're really still trying to play football like our government, DeSantis. They're trying to invite my friends down to play football. But one time for the Big Ten. For the Big Ten, it will not be revisited. It will not be revisited. Several parents who attended Friday's protest said Warren's letter failed to provide enough information about what prompted the postponement. If I know about the Mario Cardi tips, if I know about their decision and the influence of the Mario Cardi tips, if I know about that, because I just read about that at the beginning of the show. So they lying when they saying they don't have the information. If how I found the fucking information, how I found the explanations. Y'all full of it, right? Which came 6 days after the league had released its football schedule. I'm just a dyad, and I just want to spark the conversation. This is Wade who's saying this, who flew to Chicago from Jacksonville. Oh, Lord. He's from Jacksonville, Florida. Wade is from Jacksonville, Florida. Why he got to be for Florida, man? Florida man, wait. Why, Lord? Why are thou forsaking the state of Florida? Florida man, wait. He said that we don't have to play in the fall. We want to play in the fall. We want to do everything we can to play in the fall. We don't like the way the decision went down by the presidents and not knowing whether they voted, didn't vote. We didn't like that. Our kids wear Big Ten on every jersey. What the fuck that mean? We represent the Big Ten. Florida man Wade. So Florida Man Wade wore a t-shirt that said, "Jump the diet." That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Just the diet. But I want to know if you voted. Was it a vote? If it wasn't a vote, then I'm going to have a problem. But if it's a vote, I'm still have a problem. Because I'm Florida Man Wade. And I'm just the diet. Parents want communication, transparency. And so on the front, it said, "Just a diet. Just a diet." And on the back, it said, "Parents want communication, transparency, safe football." He began his remarks with a 17-second moment of silence to honor the approximately 170,000 Americans who have died from COVID-19. Okay, hold up. Time out. So immediately after acknowledging the over 170,000 people who died from COVID, you went in complaining about your kids not being able to play football in the fall. But you understand people died from COVID. Everybody ain't smart. Florida Man Wade also led a group in "Let Us Play" and the "Let Us Play" chant. "We as parents want to have some transparency on what's going on, and we should, because those are our kids," Florida Man Wade said. "Does Kevin Warren think that when they go to school, they're grown and we don't matter anymore?" Technically, legally, yes. That's exactly what it is. Like, they don't have to talk to the parents because they're considered adults legally. They talk to the parents out of consideration, Florida Man Way. That's exactly what it is. You're not that smart, are you, Florida Man Way? It's not to say that parents don't matter. It's that I don't have to talk to you, because your child, as long as your child is 18, if your child is 17, that's different. As long as your child is 18 and older, your child is legally considered an adult and they don't have to talk to you. That's exactly what it means. The whole nation's going to see how the Big Ten responds when the parents have an outcry. That's what's most important. Florida Man Wade has not reached out directly to Warren, but he said he wants the commissioner to meet the presidents of each Big Ten parent association and answer questions about the postponement and the next steps. The open letter was just a bunch of regurgitation and smoke blowing. And hey, I've got to say something because there's so much pressure. So I'll throw this out there and hope the wolves leave the gate, said Brad Beatham, father of Illinois freshman quarterback Josh Beatham. I'm not saying that the season can go. I'm not saying the SEC and the other Power Fives are going to get their season going. But why jump off the bridge so early and be so definitive now and then double down and say, "We're not going to revisit this"? Well, maybe because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Just maybe because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Parents expressed frustration over the timing of the Big Ten's decision and the limited information from the league and its presidents on why they postponed. Beatham noted that the Pac-12, which also postponed its fall season August 11th, released a detailed document saying they outlined its rationale. "We just want transparency. We just want transparency. And we want information," said Kyle Borland, father of Ohio State linebacker Tough Borland and a former linebacker at Wisconsin. Clearly the university presidents were not on the same wavelength as the university doctors and medical staff, athletic departments, and coaches. That's troubling to the Big Ten. The Big Ten's better than that. They should be better than that. A Big Ten's better than that. Than that. Than that. Big Ten's better than that. So, all in all, Big Ten, a group of Big Ten parents mad because they can't have that way. So, player safety isn't really the top priority for these players. So, let's get to some playoffs. NBA playoffs, man, in the bubble, life in the bubble. Let's get to life in the bubble in the NBA. And everybody said they got to come and throw your weight. So, baby girl, don't you come and let me. So, let's start round one, game one. Started with the Magic and the Bucks. And Orlando Magic dropped 122 points on the Milwaukee Bucks' head to take a 1-0 lead. And the score was 122-110, game one. Game one, the Miami Heat continued their win, their second straight win over the Indiana Pacers. That was game one because, remember, they played in the final game of the bubble. And they continued their winning ways. Going up 1-0 in the series with a 113-101 win over the Indiana Pacers. The Houston Rockets took a 1-0 lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder at 123-108. The Lakers fell to the Trailblazers 100-93, and Portland took a 1-0 lead in game one. So game two, the Raptors took a 2-0 lead over the New Jersey Nets with a 104-99 win. The Utah Jazz tied up the series against the Denver Nuggets 124-105. So that at that point of game two, the series was 1-1. The Boston Celtics, who's just straight dropping their nuts on the 76ers, they took a 2-0 lead with a 128-101 win over the 76ers. The Mavericks tied up their series with the Clippers with a 127-114 win to go 1-1 in the series at the game two mark. The Heat took a 2-0 lead over the Pacers with a 109-100 win. The Rockets took a 2-0 lead over the Thunder with a 101-98 win. The Bucks actually tied the series with the Magic with a 111-96 win. And the Lakers tied the series with the Trailblazers 1-1 with a 111-88 win. So both the Rockets, the Rockets, Bucks, and Lakers all got wins and all scored 111 points, excuse me. So come around game three, the Raptors took a 3-0 lead over the Nets with a 117-92 win. The Nuggets took the Jazz took a 2-1 lead over the Nuggets with a 124-87 lead. God damn, they got their ass blew out. The Celtics took a 3-0 lead over the 76ers the other night with a 102-94 win. The Clippers took a 2-1 lead over the Mavericks, and this is the game where Luka Doncic hurt his ankle, twisted his ankle. So we're going to see how he responds to today. So that's a 130-122 win for the Clippers to go up 2-1. The Bucks go up 2-1 over the Magic with a 121-107 win. The Heat go up 3-0 on the Pacers with a 124-115 win. And the Thunder go up 2-1 over the Rockets with a The Thunder actually gets a win in the series. So the Rockets still lead 2-1. The Thunder got a 119-107 win. That was yesterday. And the Lakers actually go up 2-1 in the series with a 116-108 win. So let's explore this Lakers series or this Lakers game. And I couldn't watch it because the Sling TV package I got don't have ABC. So I got to get me an old antenna. So Anthony Davis had 29 points and 11 rebounds, 8 assists. LeBron James had 38 points, 8 assists, 12 rebounds. JaVale McGee gave him 4 points, 2 rebounds. Caldwell Pope had 13 points, 3 rebounds. Caruso had 10 points, 4 rebounds. Kuzma had 7 points. Dwight Howard had 5 points. Danny Green chipped in with 8 points. For the Trailblazers, Carmelo Anthony had 20 points. Nurkic had 10 points. Whiteside had 8 points. Lillard had 34 points. And McCollum had 28 points. So, but the Lakers just did their thing and outlasted the Trailblazers. So, there you have it. That's an update on what's going on in the NBA playoffs. So, let's get back to the dumb shit. So Justin Fields, the quarterback of Ohio State, he feels, get it? Justin Fields feels that football should be played. So Justin Fields launches a petition to reinstate Big Ten football, even though the commission said it's not going to be revisited. As I sit down my water bottle. So, shut up, water bottle. Shit. One of the Big Ten's most prominent football players is calling on the conference to reverse its decision to postpone the season. It ain't going to be revisited, Justin. They're not revisiting the shit, Justin. They're not revisiting it. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, a potential Heisman Trophy candidate this season, has created a petition to immediately reinstate the fall football season, which OSU Athletic Director Gene Smith just announced last week would be scrapped due to the coronavirus outbreak. I mean, what more has to happen, Justin Fields? Do you have to get it and almost die for you to understand that it's a fucking coronavirus outbreak going on? In the petition, Phil says he speaks for football players of the Big Ten together with the fans and supporters of college football, asking for players and teams to be able to make their own choices about playing or opting out. No. No, 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 no. No. Not in college. Why? Because you're gonna make a bad decision, and then you're gonna expect the university to take responsibility for you making a bad decision. No. The university is doing what they're supposed to do. They're taking your ability to make a bad decision out of your hand, because they're not going to take the blame for you making the bad decision. So we want to play the petition reads. We believe that safety protocols have been established and can be maintained to mitigate concerns of exposure to COVID-19. It concludes with a hashtag, let us play. Fields tweeted Sunday that the issue is close to my heart, as he urged people to sign. As of 2 p.m., had 75,000 signatures. I don't give a fuck if you get 10 million signatures. The Big Ten Commission don't move. Don't move, because think about it. If you move off this and see, and you play football in the midst of this COVID, this growing COVID outbreak, motherfuckers get sick and die, they're going to be trying to sue the Big Ten. They're trying to sue the NCAA, sue the Big Ten, sue these schools, sue these coaches, to avoid all that. Hey, man, I'd just rather you be mad. I'd rather you be mad than not be out here trying to sue, because you are mad again that somebody got COVID and either got myocarditis or died. Nah. Nope. Fuck your petition, Justin Fields. Forget it. Not this time. I don't give a shit. Not this time. Nope. Nope. Fuck you and 75,000 people who signed it. We're not moving off of that. Your safety is more important than, I want to play. I want to play. Let me play. Nope. Football ain't going nowhere. NFL ain't going nowhere. You're going to be at the same place everybody else is, because everybody dealing with COVID. Chill out. Nope, it's not happening. Nope, not college football. Let me know what these safety protocols is, because I don't know what these safety protocols is. Let me know. Nah, bro, it ain't happening, Justin Fields. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it in the spring. We'll see where we at in the spring. But the fact that people won't sit their asses down and chill out is the reason why the numbers keep rising. Matter of fact, we're going to see what happened when school opened up. There's already like 42 students at Florida State University who done got COVID already, and they just moving in. I don't even really know a classroom started, but already 42 students at Florida State University. What happened at FAMU? I don't know. I really don't know yet, but nope, not happening. No football this fall. As much as it pains me to say that, no football this fall. Why? Because I actually care about the quality of human life. That ain't happening. Nope. Justin Fields, take your petition and go home. Take your petition and go home. Y'all crazy, man. Kawhi. I'm just saying, they crazy, man. But it's time.
for my weekly rant.
And it's aimed at fuckboy Tom Brennerman. Tom Brennerman, you a funny little white man. You funny, B. He used the anti-gay slur on air and then tried to say that's not him. That's really why I'm going in, because he said it, because of how he said it. But 75% of this is for that half-ass apology, because I'm tired of these people getting caught saying fuck shit and then going around saying that's not them. What you do behind closed doors is who you really are. Like, integrity, what I meant to say, integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. That's integrity. Integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. So if you racist when nobody's watching, or you anti-gay when nobody's watching, then that's who you really are. So Fox Sports says Tom Brennerman would not be part of his NFL broadcasting team this season after he used an anti-gay slur on air Wednesday night during the Cincinnati Reds broadcast. Good. Kick his bitch ass off. Fox Sports is extremely disappointed with Tom Brennerman's remark during Wednesday's Cincinnati Cardinals telecast. Fox said in a statement Thursday, the language he used was abhorrent, unacceptable, and not representative of the values of Fox Sports. Because I think he was like, this is one fag city right here. That's what he said. It's like, this is one fag city. So it's basically whatever the city that he was referring to, where he was just saying how, basically in his words, saying how gay he thought the city was. And he got caught saying that because his mic was on. His mic was hot, and he got caught saying that. And then when he realized he got caught, he came back with that pussy-ass apology, talking about that's not who he really is. So if Brennerman had been a part of Fox's NFL announcer lineup since it started televising the league in 1994. He was part of the number 3 announcer team. That's why I don't nobody know who he is. Last season, and was paired with analyst Chris Spielman and reporter Shannon Spate. Oh, okay. So he was the dude with Chris Spielman. Okay. He called Major League Baseball games for the network from 1996 to 2014. On Wednesday, Brennerman used the slur moments after the Fox Sports Ohio feed returned from a commercial break before the top of the 7th inning in the first game of a doubleheader at Kansas City. He has been suspended from working Reds games and the team apologizing for the horrific homophobic remark or anti-gay remark. Along with an apology Brennerman issued on air Wednesday, he wrote an apology for the Cincinnati Inquirer on Thursday, saying that what he said is something no one should ever say. Well, why'd you say it? And why you been saying it? See, that's the thing. That's it right there. Own up to what you said. Be like, yeah, I used the word, but I'm gonna try to be a better person moving forward, that I remove that and all other hate out of my life. That would be better. But when you're trying to say, well, no one should use it, well, bitch, you use it. You use it, bitch. You use it. You use it regularly. You use it regularly. So when nobody's watching, no mics are on, you talk like that. You use it. That's why you felt comfortable saying it, because you thought your mic was off. Stop with the fuckboy shit, man. Be a man and admit what you said, admit what you do, and tell us how you're going to work toward not doing it no more. Stop being a bitch. You can't be a bitch your whole life. Something that no one should ever think, something that no one should ever feel, something that no one should ever hear. Yeah, fuck that. I use the word as both offensive and insulting. In the past 24 hours, I've read about its history. Bitch, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. So now you're an expert on the word fag. Now you're an expert on the word fag now. Stop it. Stop it. Stop with the fake shit, bruh. Stop it. I don't want to give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about what you did in the past 24 hours. Just tell us what you're going to do, and we're going to check up on you. Bruh. In the meantime, sit your ass down. You ain't changed in 24 hours. He talking about, and then he says, like, in the past 24 hours, I read about his history. I had no idea it was so rooted in hate and violence, and I'm particularly ashamed that I, someone who makes his living by the use of words, could be so careless and insensitive. So you make your living by the use of words, but you had no idea that the word fat had a hateful and violent history behind it. Bitch, you lying. You lying, Tom Brennerman, you lying. Why are you lying, bro? You a fuck boy. And you just earned your acceptance into the International Fuck Boys Association. Tom Brennerman, you have now been inducted, formally inducted into the International Fuck Boys Association. Cause you over here lying. You knew. You used the word with malice. You used the word with malicious intent. You didn't use the word as a word of endearment. You used the word as a malicious term. That's how you use the word, bro. You didn't use it to make motherfuckers feel good. You used it to get a point across that something was not of substance, that something was not good. That's how you used it. Stop that shit. You fucking knew this shit. Oh, you such a bitch. It's a word that should have no place in my vocabulary, and I will certainly never utter it again. Don't, you bet not utter it again, but it's a word that's been in your vocabulary because you've been fucking used. He had that he plans to take part in diversity, equity, and inclusion training. All right. Billy Bean, MLB's ambassador for inclusion, called Brennerman's use of the slur disheartening in a statement Thursday and noted MLB's zero tolerance policy for harassment, discrimination, and bias toward the LGBTQ community or person at any time. Bean continued last night, is a difficult reminder that there's still so much work to do. Duh. Until you start America over, we're going to always deal with these issues. Until you cleanse the sink. You can't clean the sink in dirty. You can't clean dishes in a dirty sink. You cannot clean dishes in a dirty sink. So until you clean the sink, you're going to always have issues. Until you start America over, you're going to always have these issues. America was founded on this bullshit. So we will pause for a moment and utilize this incident as a learning opportunity for every one of our stakeholders. The Reds took Brennerman off the broadcast in the ninth inning of the second game, handing his duties to airtime play-by-play announcer Jim Day. The Cincinnati Reds organization is devastated by the horrific homophobic remark made this evening by broadcaster Tom Brennerman. The team said in a statement he was pulled off the air and effectively immediately was suspended from doing Reds broadcasts. We will be addressing our broadcasting team in the coming days. In no way does the incident represent our players, coaches, organization, or our fans. We share our sincerest apologies to the LGBTQ community in Cincinnati, Kansas City, and all across the country and beyond. The Reds embrace a zero-tolerance policy for bias or discrimination of any kind, and we are truly sorry for anyone who has been offended. Fox Sports Ohio said in a statement that it agreed with the suspension, adding that Brennerman's remarks was hateful, offensive, and in no way reflects the values of the network. Brennerman, who had been a part of the Reds announcing team since 2007, opened the fifth inning with an apology, spoken directly to the camera before handing off play-by-play duties. Now let me keep reading. Let me keep reading because the apology that lets you know how the apology is full of shit. Let me keep reading. I made a commitment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air. I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air, and I'm deeply ashamed of it, he said. If I hurt anyone out there, I can tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm very, very sorry. After pausing, so in the middle of his apology, he announced a home run by Cincinnati Reds' Nick Castellanos. Brennerman added, I don't know if I'm going to be putting on his headset again, and he apologized to the Reds, Fox Sports, and his co-workers. In the middle of his apology, he called the home run, y'all. In the middle of apologizing for what he meant to say, he called the home run. I can't make this shit up. These weekly rants lately been hitting, and I can't make this shit up. I can't make this shit up. Tom Brennerman, you a fuck boy, and that's why you are not a part of the International Fuck Boys Association. That's why you're a part of that. So Tom Brennerman, a big fuck you to you from Joseph Ward, and you need to be fired. You need to be fired, and you need to get your life together. Really need to get your life together because you're full of shit, Tom Brennerman. So, hey, man, with that being said, let me close out this Fix Sports podcast. Remember, y'all can support your homeboy on Patreon at patreon.com/TheFix. Visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, Shelby Davis, Queen Candace, Andy Nickman, September, all of our podcasters. You know, man, we get it in. And for all those who want to see this video, man, become a patron. Become a patron, become a patron, become a patron. Patreon.com/TheFix. With that being said, man, two fingers in the air like a player because I am getting up out of here. Peace. Oh. Yeah.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston.